Mike Buseglia here from SevillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly forum of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone. Happy New Year, and welcome to this edition of Runcast. Appreciate you listening in. In a few weeks, for obvious reasons, we've all been on the go that time of year. But I love it. But I also really enjoy getting back into routine. Anybody knows me knows I'm a type A guy. I do kind of thrive on predictability and routine. And I think a lot of us do, and particularly runners. And so it's nice to get back. So many people that I coach have been saying, when are you getting this out to us? When are you going to get that workout? When are we going to get started? And I love that. That means that they're ready to go, and that's a big end of running. It's one of, for me as a coach, and I think anybody listening that's a runner, you would agree, in your own running, and one of the most important facets of running is to enjoy it. It is on the surface, and non-runners say it all the time, and they're right, in because from afar it looks that way, that it doesn't look to be a very appealing sport. It looks boring, redundant, it's tiring. There's not any kind of a stimulation. There isn't a goal, a net, a ball, a bat, a stick, a score. And so I think when you do begin to find the fun side of running, you want to keep it there. And I think one of the fun sides, one of the ways people keep running fun is obviously to have your down times, your recovery periods, your time when you're not running quite as intensely or quite as regimented. The key is to not fall off the wagon altogether. I am really strong-minded about this. I think it's one of the bigger issues behind injuries is folks that hibernate. I'll hear people saying, well, I'm going to take the winter off. Well, that's not a true runner. Somebody that runs throughout the year, and I don't mean a true runner in that they're fast or elite or that they're better than other people, but that's not a person that gets it, because running your life on a regular basis is the way to do it. Now, it does not mean going crazy with your running all year round, but you should keep it consistent. And you could, what I've been telling a lot of people lately, over the last 6-8 weeks since they're finished with their fall racing season, and I see the holidays approaching, I get it, with a family and busy life, I understand what happens during the holidays. So I say, tell them, take your watch off. And when you go out for a run, just go out for total relaxation without any kind of a time stimulation or without any kind of expectation. So anyway, kind of ramble there, but the ultimate thing is to make sure you're staying consistent throughout the year in keeping running in your life at some level. If you want to be an injury-free runner that gets the rewards of running, which are obviously keeping you fit, it cannot be a part-time seasonal. I'm going to do it in the spring and summer and part of the fall and then bug out in the winter. It just doesn't work that way. And there's a lot of research out there now too that shows that if you do take time off as you get older, and I can speak to this, I don't take time off for long periods of time, but I see it with my peers, 40s and 50s and 60s, if you do take periods of time off and try and come back, it is very difficult to get the engine running and without the risk of injury. It's been cold the last few days. It's going to get warm again by the time you hear this podcast. So, but this last few mornings, this morning it's 14 degrees. I was out the track doing some coaching. You got to dress properly. Goes without saying, and particularly covering your skin and particularly layers of wicking technical fabrics, no cotton. You want to get that moisture away from your skin. Most people know this, but newer runners, quite often I'm surprised someone hasn't clued them in. It is, cotton is the death of you in this cold weather, in that once you get moving, the moisture stays trapped against you. Hydration, very important. I've been very guilty of this lately because I'm not feeling thirsty. I'm not seemingly sweating like I normally do. I haven't been drinking enough, and it's been causing headaches, lethargic in the afternoon. I mean, this whole notion of this, I've been seeing this commercial on ESPN for this 5-hour little shot drink. It looks like almost like a bourbon shot in a bottle. And they say, oh, take this for the 2:30 blues in the afternoon. Well, the 2:30 blues usually come about because you just ate lunch and you're sitting around, you're not moving, and you haven't been drinking enough. And you got to get drinking enough, as in hydrating with water. So very important. This morning we shifted gears, talk about a live and learn. As a veteran coach, I've made plenty of mistakes over the years, continue to make them, try and learn from them. One of the things I learned is When you have a workout planned and the temperature shifts like this, we had this workout planned about 4 or 5 days ago when it was in the 50s and 60s. This morning it's 14. It was a track workout. We bagged the track workout and did a milder kind of pace type oriented workout. Why? Because the risk of injury, because you don't get your body warmed up enough, just shoots through the ceiling. Achilles, calf, hamstring. Oh my gosh. So here we are early, almost preseason, and I'm not going to risk injuring my athletes with some meaningless, in the grand scheme of things, workout. So lots going on. The track club had a wonderful New Year's Day race. About 385 folks signed up. They had about over 330 people show. Beautiful day. unseasonably mild. I got a chance to, I never miss this race. It's my only race that I get to run in. Well, get to run. It acts like I'm deprived, but it's the only one that I make time to actually run in each year. I love it. And this year, my sister was celebrating her 50th on Sunday. It was a surprise party. Well, she didn't realize she was going to celebrate her 50th in a big way. And it was in Washington, up outside of Washington, D.C. at about 1 o'clock. So, 2-hour drive. It wasn't going to happen. Did mark the course. Got to wave to a lot of people and chit-chat with a few folks that stopped. And but saw the results and very impressed. Could not have put the event. The event wouldn't have been the way it is. The high quality, the fun orientation of it without the work of the Charlottesville Track Club board, folks like Dave Murphy and Ellen Hull and Leah Connor, Deb Gilbert, and just a really impressive group of people that are running the track club. And they Carol Finch, folks like her that come out to help John Lloyd. They just do a great job. Had some really neat performances out there, some comeback folks, people that had been away from the sport for a while because of injury. Great to see them back out. Lise Willingham finished first in her age group. She's been out with a stress fracture for, oh gosh, it seems like 3 months now that she's kind of worked her way slowly back. Jane Jackson, the same thing. She was fifth in her age group and ran 7:44 pace. Excellent. Nice to see them both out there racing again. The Smith family was the talk of the day. My good buddies, Scott and Mary Claire and their wonderful children. Eric was third overall in the race with a former CHS runner now in college. He's a bit of a mountain biker. Well, not bit of. He's normally a mountain biker. Does running more part-time, and he finished third overall in a very prestigious event. Congrats to him. His sister, Emily, was second in her age group. Pretty neat stuff. Mary Claire, his mom, won her age group with a really excellent time, and his dad, Scott, ever popular Scott, fifth overall in his age group. But really fantastic and good to see them out there on such a kind of a social fun day. What a neat fun family thing to do. All the dollars were passed on to the Boys and Girls Club. As you know, the Charlottesville Track Club does 100% of their dollars go back to area nonprofits. Over $500,000 last year. Pretty impressive stuff. And I continue to encourage people to support this wonderful organization that gives so much back to our town. Brian Kaiser was our winner, 1708, great guy, a school teacher, and a good all-around person, and had a nice effort there. Hernan Garbini, Brian's 28, Hernan is 50. Hernan was 15 seconds behind him at 1723. Very impressive stuff. On the women's side, Julia Webb, chugging along in her pregnancy at this point. She's a 28-year-old, nice job, 1841. For an expecting mom, pretty good time for anybody, period, but expecting mom, that much more impressive. And Andrea Wright, at 50 years old, set the new course record for 50-year-old, 1938. Wow, neat stuff. And then Becky Keller, back from injury. Good to see her back out there also, 2017. Really, good all-around performances. Gosh, we had just so many great times out there. Ann Chapin, fifth in age group, 8:05 pace. Skip Mullaney won. He's 72 years old, won his age group in 23:06. That's 7:27 a mile, 72 years old. Gah, I have long ago seen the last of 7:27 pace for a 5K, and I'm not 72. Charlie Menifee, 7:37 pace, excellent. Zan McKenzie, second in her age group. I mean, there were just Jamie Kurtz, second in her age group, all over the place. Excellent performances. A really kind of fun day. I'm just looking through the results here. Doug Bloor won his age group. Jennifer Hochrein, 41-year-old, winning the 40-44 in his sweet time at 2022. Pete Runge, just the tireless, ageless wonder. I've known him He's been shopping in our store since he was 14 years old. He's 41, 21, 23, wins his age group. Really neat stuff. Kyoko, Zyra Gosta wins her age group. George Rich, Clark Jackson, Richard Moon, Linda Scandor, Connie Friend, could go on and on. Great effort. So, fun day. I'm sorry I missed the brunt of it. It really is a special event. The UVA hire, we haven't talked since, I don't think, since Brian Fetzer from Harvard was hired to direct the UVA track and field program. Gosh, what a good hire. It seems like a management guy, a recruiter, an administrative guy, a people manager, an athlete manager. Wow. This is something we're looking forward to. I'm looking forward to meeting him and welcoming him to our community. I'm excited. I'm also anxious to hear, and anxious in a good way, to hear who he ends up hiring as a distance coach for the middle distance and distance coach for the guys. Really looking forward to seeing who's going to be working with Robbie and Anthony and that corral of a stable full of, you know, super fast guys. So I talked to Anthony Kostelec the other day, and he's really class act, you know, a former Almore great, and he was stopped by the shop to chat with Alec, his old coaching running buddy from Almore, and Alec and he were chatting away, and I said, Anthony, excited? And he goes, oh, the guy seems like he's going to be great. We're all excited about it. I thought, gosh, this is good. The athletes are up for this because, you know, it was a sudden change in shifting gears, and you often hope that athletes at that age are at least mature enough to say, let's be patient and let's have faith that things work out. And good for Anthony there, and I'm sure he's speaking for some of the other guys too. So looking forward to welcoming Brian Fetzer to our community. And speaking of the track is pretty much finished, but do not go anywhere near the inside of that fencing area, please. The track is still curing and setting up, and it's closed to anyone, not just the public. It's closed to everyone other than people that may be still working up there, and they're still working on the entranceway. Oh, it's going to be absolutely, it's already beautiful, but that whole entranceway is going to be stunning. I've seen the renderings. Wow, going to be neat stuff. It's going to be the entrance to that jewel of a complex with Klockner, Davenport, and now Lanigan. Going to be right up there with them. We've gone from kind of one of the most subpar tracks in the conference to one of the nicest track facilities in the country in just a short period of time. So we're looking forward to that. Be careful on starting back up, New Year's resolutions, things like that. Just ease into it. Three or four folks in the last week have come in with injuries, and I've unraveled it back to the source of them starting a training program with that cliche, proverbial 3 miles. Don't get it. Don't understand where that comes from. But if you haven't run in a while, or if not run ever, 3 miles, I don't know where that gets started, but way too much. Start with a half mile walk run. I'm always happy to give personalized tips on that. We have handouts. It's just essential in that cliche building block foundation to do it properly. Great job, Jim Ryan. A call out to you for communicating quickly to your coach when you had something ailing. A little ache or pain there. I try and think of examples each week of folks that have been really good at getting it right and communicating either with a coach or with someone who's experienced enough to maybe guide them, even if it's just a spouse, to have them say, why don't you take a few days off? Why don't you do this or that? I'm kind of darting all over the place today, but I've been seeing an injury that's being misdiagnosed somewhat. It's a drop metatarsal arch, so metatarsalgia, and you see this when your forefoot, you get foot pain up into the ball of your foot, up underneath, behind where your toes are, and it's kind of centrally located, and it hurts to walk. And some folks have been coming by saying, yeah, I think it's plantar fasciitis. It is not plantar fasciitis, particularly if it doesn't hurt you when you get out of bed in the morning, and it hurts you the more you're on it. And that is a really easy injury to take care of. We help with it quite often. You just get a pad that you put behind the area, not on top of the area, but behind the area that's hurting you. And, oh, it's the difference between running pain-free and nirvana and running with, not being able to run at all because you're in so much pain. 10-mile training program continues. We're going to continue to meet over at CHS for the time being. There's been some talk afoot, pun intended. Kathy Bronchard, who's my assistant, and I have been chatting. The newer runners are getting a little nervous that they haven't done any running on the actual 10-miler course, which, of course, we always did when we were over at UVA, but we can't be at UVA because we don't have the track there. So we continue to meet at CHS at 8 o'clock every Saturday. I would warn you, if you're not currently running, it's probably not the best program to be in at this point, because group number one is up to 4 miles this week, which is really doggone impressive. And we have almost 500 people in training program. Amazing. But we may move over to the UVA, over to U-Haul again in the latter part of the training program, and just obviously staying off the track, but so we can get folks starting out on the road there, getting used to the course. Race entries are open. Go to charlottesvilletrackclub.org. They already have close to 1,000 people entered. Mike Inns, the race director, was telling me, fantastic. That's the granddaddy of them all. Our oldest race in town, and pretty much our most prestigious. That is set for March 31st. Got a kids clinic, track clinic and track race, very low-key, free. I put these on throughout the year. This one's on the 21st of January. If you know any kids, ages 3 or 4 to about 12, it's actually pretty fun. Quick in and out, and give some tips and etiquette and talk about form, and then we run the kids in a few little events, and then off you go. And that's 8:30, so right after I kick off the 10-mile training program on the 21st over at Charlottesville. Announcing a new event, I'm so excited about it, the McCormick Mile. We've been wanting to do this for a while. The RMR kids had come to me a few years ago, say, we need to have a road mile that has all kinds of divisions, from kids all the way up to a sub-4-minute mile group. Masters, Clydesdales, corporate, sorority, fraternity, whatever. We're going to go for this on the morning of March 24th, 7:30. We've secured permission to have it run through the university. That's why it's called the McCormick Mile. We've also been working with the city, because there's a little bit of a real estate that we've been running. Come down through the heart of the university, turn right at the chapel, and come right onto University Avenue and finish at our sponsors, a doorstep basically on the corner, Dunkin' Donuts. Andy Rod, who dear to me, good friend, is one of his children, has been at Virginia Institute of Autism for years. All of the proceeds will go to VIA. The race will start with kids' divisions. We'll run them through the nice, fast course, and we'll work our way up to the premier event of the day, the elite division. It'll actually be a money race, a prize money race, where we'll see who can break of the guys in 4 minutes in the mile, and then we'll have a female elite division also. Pretty neat stuff. Look for information on that coming up, but mark your calendars. It's all abilities. You ever wanted to run a fast mile in kind of a neat setting? I'm going to start very briefly recounting some of the stories that I think are, I do this every year. I write it for the in my column, my On the Run column for the Daily Progress, and it's a fun thing. I actually really enjoy doing it. I just get a sampling of what I think are some of the more significant running stories of the year from our local running world. My gosh, there's so it's really a difficult task to narrow it down to just a dozen. I used to do a top 10, but now it's gotten to be like almost like a baker's dozen, and we've just had so many great things occur over the past year. And I just wanted to do a couple of them today. I want to talk about, and we'll recount them over the next few weeks. But really, one of the one of the cool stories is Donnie Cowart, who competes for our local post-collegiate running team. He finished 6th in the steeplechase, 6th at the USA Track and Field National Championships, Eugene, back in June. And then he went on. Oh, gosh, he went all over Europe racing this summer. And then he got invited to run in this very prestigious road mile in England. It was England versus U.S., and then he ultimately got an invite to go run in the Pan Am Games, which is really one of the most prestigious track and field events in the world. He represented the country, real deal USA jersey, not as just his ragamuffin racing jersey. Somebody said, did he wear it in the race? I said, you got to be kidding. He's representing the United States. It was very neat. And he finished first American there in the steeple. And then he topped out his amazing year, the VMI grad, with a win at the prestigious Richmond AK in November. And he outkicked 2 Kenyan and 2 Ethiopian racers. Wow, that's like striking out 4 New York Yankees, 22:49. Pretty impressive stuff to end out an amazing year. And now it's official. 2012 is here. He is in training to try and make the Olympic team. He's going to the Olympic trials in late June. And we'll be there in the stands cheering him on and hoping that this fine young man works his way through the trials into a spot on the Olympic team. Wouldn't that be something? His teammate, Louise Knudsen, was the fastest local female marathoner of the year. She rocketed to a 2:42 at Boston, a huge PR, 7 minutes. Wow. Again, impressive stuff, Louise. considering, well, it doesn't matter considering, but this is even that much more amazing. Louise started in our Charlottesville Track Club training, summer training program back in 2008. Did not know her very well. I coached her throughout the summer, but even having done that, didn't get to know her real well till afterwards when she ran 318 at Richmond. It was hot as blazes. I asked her if she would like to join the Boston group. She ran 2:308, I believe, and then dropped it down at Boston, then 2:58 at New York. And it's just been, a free fall of time since then. She'll be running in the Olympic trials next weekend on January 15th down in Houston. She and her teammate, Melissa Rittenhouse, both have qualified. Both will be there. And Louise will be shooting for a time faster than 2:42. I don't know if I should be sharing it, but it's quite a bit faster, and we're really feeling strongly that she can do it and maybe finish in the top 10 or 15 or 20 even at the Olympic trials. That would be amazing just to be there or something else. Several locals are going down, actually. Amy Martin, Harry Landers, there's several that are going down to run in at the Houston event. Obviously not, and no slight to them, but there's an open Houston event, obviously not the Olympic trials. Harry Landers at 59 would be quite the phenom to be running the Olympic trials, but Harry will be trying to run his own really fast time down there, and they're going down there to cheer them on also. It was an amazing year period for marathon. We had over 500 locals compete in marathons from Paris all the way to San Francisco, and neat, so many incredible stories of PRs, the Diddy Morrises, the Annie Chapins, the Tracy Towns, people I've talked to you about before. Kathy Bronshaw's, just all over the map. Some of the faster ones were 54-year-old Kenny Ball run 312 at Chicago in that 80-degree weather. Rick Witowski, 254, first in his age group, first at Richmond. And Amy Martin, who we just talked about, 302 in Chicago. Wow, mother of four. I don't know how she does it all, works. Ooh, amazing, amazing, amazing. And then while we're maybe still on the marathoning, ultramarathoner Sophie Spidell continue to be kind of the godmother of ultra marathoning in our area, and she's certainly one of the most respected master trail runners on the East Coast. She had a 17-minute huge PR at Hellgate, the Hellgate 100K, and just really has become one of the more dominant figures in our region, and we're lucky to have her as a neighbor and as a friend. She coaches and teaches over at St. Anne's. And one of her buddies, Andy Jones-Wilkins, widely considered to be one of the fastest ultra marathoners in the nation. He finished in the top 10 on eight straight years, finishing the top 10 at the ultra prestigious Western States 100 miler. That's kind of their version of the Kentucky Derby or the Indianapolis 500 for ultra trail runners, is the Western States 100. And now Andy's moved into town. He's the headmaster at Tandem Friends School and their cross country coach, which is really neat. So that was kind of a neat story to have him move into town, as did someone else kind of fast and well-known moved into town this summer. And that's Alan Webb. The fastest U.S. miler in history. Yep, the American record holder. And, of course, he was the first high schooler to break 4 minutes since Jim Ryan when he did it back, right around 2000 or somewhere in there, 2001, I can't remember. But he and his speedy wife, Julie, have moved to Charlottesville in August. That was kind of one of the bigger stories of the year. And then deepened Central Virginia's reputation as one of the premier running hotbeds in the country. We can really actually say that. Without feeling like we're reaching. Pretty impressive stuff. So there's just a few stories I'm going to conk off now. Not a lot coming up. Thank goodness we get a little break in the action. Runners of the week, oh gosh, all over the map. I mean, I talked about some earlier, but certainly our winners of the New Year's Day 5K, and a lot of those people I called out, Hernan and Skip and Eric and Ann and Mary Claire, Zam. Pretty impressive stuff. And call out to Katie Farina, one of my high school favorites, one of my favorite high schoolers. I am not in high school. She's not one of my high school buddies, but I am a big fan of Katie Farina's. In her senior year at Western, had a rough fall with some physical issues that just set her back and never really got the engine going where she wanted to. And she opened with a really sweet 1,000 at a track meet recently. And by the way, the high school indoor season has kicked off, and there'll be a nice meet if you're really interested in high school running and want to watch some of the kids race from our area high schools down at FUMA. Winston Brown always does a slam bang job down at the Estes Center, just about a 50-minute drive from Charlottesville, easy drive and a lot of fun. to watch these kids. They'll be racing there this Saturday, which is the 7th. Yep, the 7th. So anyway, talked enough, talked your ear off. I really have missed chatting with everyone, and I look forward to filling in on some more stories next week from 2011 and talking about things to come in 2012. Thanks, everyone, for listening in, and stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at raggedmountainrunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.